It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 8. We're going to begin reading with the 12th verse, Romans chapter 8, verse 12. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you would like to write to us, it would be at Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org, many good, wonderful verses and studies on the website there, our Constitution, the Plan of Salvation, please that you look and enjoy that as well. And then if you'd like to email us, it's parkviewbible@gmail.com. or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. And again, this is a survey of what we have already studied. It has been in the past, and we have been through the book of Romans completely, and we're just kind of picking out some very important areas. And it may seem like repetition, but I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am, because I sure am. And so please that you listen and enjoy it and come to know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, and then enjoy growing each and every day. And so Romans chapter 8, beginning to read with verse 12, Romans 8, 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man sees, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind and the spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Beautiful scripture verses. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start the study. Father, we just thank you that we can enjoy the precious word. And as we read through the Word of God, we know, according to John chapter 3, that we are saved by water and the Spirit. And Father, we know that water does not stand for baptism. That water represents your precious living Word. And so we need to hear the Word of God. And the Spirit needs to convict our hearts, and then we have a decision to make, whether to come to you or to reject you. I pray today that no one rejects you, but everyone would come by faith to you and be born again, be saved. And Father, then begin to feed upon your word and enjoy your precious word. when a person is born, we need to nurture them. We need to give them milk. They need to grow and grow slowly, but grow continually by the feeding. And it's the same thing as a believer in Jesus Christ. As you're born again now, it's time to feed upon the Word. See that you find yourself in a place that feeds, a place that really, really takes the Word of God, the King James, the old King James, and preaches that Word, teaches that Word in season and out of season. So please, Lord, just touch every heart now as we enjoy this study. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as we look at this, we find even back in the 11th verse, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, what takes place to understand here in this 12th verse? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors. Jesus died for us. Jesus paid the debt for us. We owe Him. He did it for nothing, for no charge. We had to pay no money. We had to not promise to do certain jobs or responsibilities. He saved us. We have a free will to come to Him, and by His grace He has offered us salvation. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus offers and brings us salvation if we come by faith. Jesus died on the cross and shed His blood that we can live. And so you see, we are debtors, but not to the flesh. We are debtors to the Lord Jesus Christ. We owe Him. We owe Him our life. We owe Him everything. He saved us. He has yanked us out of the pits of hell. Oh my, what a glorious day it is. And so please understand that to continue to live the way you always have after the flesh is not bringing honor and glory unto God, and is not bringing you true and full life. Now, you're born again. You're saved. This isn't saying that if you don't mortify the deeds of the body, you're going to die if you don't do that, because it does say, mortify the deeds of your body, ye shall live. Well, if you want real life in Jesus Christ, if you want the joy, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, all that precious fruit that the Lord Jesus pours out upon us when we surrender to Him, when that takes place, then you will really recognize and understand real life. And so that's what this is talking about here. And so we look back to the 7th chapter, verse 14. It says, "For you know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." But now we've been set free from that, and that control, that master, and we've become servants to righteousness, and we owe nothing to the flesh, nothing. And so don't think that you have to come back and pay some debt to it, because you do not. We owe everything to the Lord Jesus Christ and His saving power. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But assuring the believers in Rome that they are not under any obligation to the flesh, Paul reminded them what the flesh gives. The flesh gives death. So you see, as you're born again, you are given a new heart, you are given life, and so please live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord Jesus so that you can enjoy it. Because the only thing that old flesh can offer you is death. Now, I know it may be hard for you to understand that you're born again, you're made new, you're alive. What is the deal with the flesh? We still have the flesh. That's what the deal is. We've been made new in our hearts. Spiritually, we had been born again, and oh, we praise the Lord, but we still have that old flesh. And so we need to understand that the only thing it could ever offer and ever give was death. And so why do we want to surrender to it? We don't. A person who lives habitually under the domain of sin is an unsaved person. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't commit sin, but if you just love it and enjoy it, and yet you say you're saved, the only one you're lying to is yourself, because God knows that you're not saved. Because you will not want to live under continual sin. So if you're living habitually, or your desires under the dominion of the flesh, you are on the way to dying, to death. Physical death, yes, but a spiritual death. And it's a position that you're already in, because you are spiritually dead already. But if you live, and the same word is going to be used, desires or habitually, under the dominion of the Spirit, the control of the Spirit, you are habitually putting to death the deeds of the body, and you're going to live and enjoy a wonderful life. That's the difference. You can be born again and still have your life is so much in the world that you never notice the victory. You never feel the victory. And so we need to have that victory. As Paul said, believers, we are not debtors to the flesh. We've talked about that. We are not debtors to the flesh. To live after the flesh, or to crave the things of the flesh. But we have within us the Holy Spirit, who leads us into spiritual things, into spiritual thinking, into spiritual living, into spiritual practices of our life. Now, you'll find folks that confess to be saved and born again, but their life never changes, their personality never changes, and they just continue to live in their wicked ways, and they're mean and nasty and arrogant. And you think, boy, they can't be saved. Well, that's God's job of determining whether they are or not, but they sure don't have any evidence of it. We can say that much. The Holy Spirit is in the world to glorify Christ, not to glorify himself. And so as we look at these verses of Scripture here, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. What a glorious time we have. And the Holy Spirit, again, is here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lives within the heart of every believer. So that gives us the power and the strength and the wisdom of what to do, not to please the flesh, but to please the Spirit. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Let's go to John at chapter 16, John 16, verses 12 and 15. John chapter 16, 12 through 15. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you in all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, what that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. That is the opportunity we have as a child of God, to live after the Spirit, to desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and not to receive the fear and the bondage that is spoken of many times. We who believe are not in bondage, nor are we under the law. We are under grace. And he says, well, does that give you the opportunity to do whatever you want to do? No, you won't want to. You will not want to. We are not afraid. Fear has been removed. And if you do fear and worry, please depend upon the Lord Jesus if you're born again. And we have some verses of Scripture back in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John the 4th chapter, verse 17 and 18. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. For there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. I'm going to read that again. That is 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And so you see, to be under grace, we have no fear. And back into the 14th and 15th verse, for as many, back in Romans chapter 8, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We, believers, are God's sons, not on our efforts, but because of the finished work of His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. Salvation, when you come by faith to Jesus, salvation removes fear. Believers do not fear death or judgment, nor do they fear the meeting of a righteous God, because our God has taken care of that problem if you come by faith to Him. And then down we find, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, as this scripture tells us. And again, we're up in the 15th verse. But ye have received the spirit of adoption, being placed as a son. So the Holy Spirit is the spirit of adoption. So legally, we're God's sons. We've been adopted. Born ones. Born from above. As adult sons, in a legal standing before God, and in a relationship to Him, we are adopted. It says, cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. I don't know if you did when you were little, if you called your dad or your father daddy. Most people do. Most little ones do. That's some of the first words you try to teach your children how to say, daddy or mommy, one or the other. And you work with them and work with them and work with them, trying to get them to say those words. And that is the relationship that we have with our Heavenly Father, is the same relationship and dependence. We should have that same dependence with our, as we did our children, and we should have the same as they were small with our Heavenly Father. That's the care He wants to give us. Verse 16 of Romans chapter 8. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Beareth witness. is to bear joint witness with someone else, to bear joint testimony with another person, with someone else. And so to bear witness then, and so I bear witness that I am a child of God, because the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit that lives within my heart, is in agreement, is in, I know He is in my heart, because my spirit and the Spirit of God know each other. They're together because I've accepted Jesus as my Savior. And so as you walk each day, and that doesn't mean by any means that I'm perfect, because I still have the old flesh, but I know I'm saved because my spirit and the Holy Spirit, my spirit and the Holy Spirit know each other. They're together. What a joy to walk each day. What is this witness of the Spirit? Is it not a feeling? Let's look in verse 16 and 17 again. The Spirit beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. So again, the question comes, what is this witness of the Spirit? Is it not a feeling? How foolish it would be to believe that to prove the presence of the Holy Spirit is connected to a feeling. And it is as foolish for a child of God to expect the witness of the Spirit to be a feeling. Our own spirit tells us we are God's children. And the voice with which it speaks is prompted and inspired by the Holy Spirit Himself. What a joy. And as we see here, look at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. They are the children, now children. What an opportunity. What a witness. What a joy to be joint heirs, as verse 18, 16 and 17 again. I just love reading these over and over again. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So back in verse 16, we have beareth witness. It is to bear joint witness with some other person, to bear joint testimony with some other person. What is this witness of the Spirit? Again, it is not a mere feeling. We do not need certain feelings to know that I am a child of God, a child of my parents. There's no feeling there. I mean, you love each other, but to say you have a certain feeling, it doesn't exist. You're your parents' child, and I am a child of God because I've been born from above, born anew, born again, as John chapter 3 tells us. It's the same about the Spirit. Our own Spirit tells us that we are God's children. The voice is prompt and inspired by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit Himself. And what a joy to look. And again, that was just almost a review as we look at this. But look at verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. It is. We need to understand how important it is that we are a child of God, and to enjoy that each and every day. Now, the suffering. Paul has written the book of Romans, and so to speak of the suffering here, the only one that's probably suffered more than Paul would be the Lord Jesus himself. You know, Paul was beaten, was stoned, was left for dead. Yet we see what Paul says here. He reckons, is to compute, to calculate, means by reasoning. And so he finds here, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time is not worthy. And to understand what he has been through, you know, and so we look at these precious words in the very end of verse 18. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us, or towards us. Let's look to Second Timothy chapter two, First, Second Thessalonians, First Timothy, Second Timothy. If you went to Titus, you're too far. Second Timothy chapter 2, verse 12. 2 Timothy 2:12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Oh, my stars, please speak the name of Jesus. And then it goes on in verse 19, and it says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. When Jesus shall appear, what will happen? Let's go to Colossians 3:4 and see if that'll help us. Colossians 3:4, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and then Colossians. Colossians chapter 3, verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What a promise. What a promise. This is not the rapture, because we will come with him. We will come with him. As the scripture says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Now let me explain that just a little bit, because sometimes it becomes a little confusing. We speak of the rapture of the church. We're in the church age right now, and then the next event that's going to take place is going to be the rapture of the church. Now, that time, Jesus doesn't come and plant his feet upon this earth. We're going to meet him in the air. Meet him in the air, the scripture says. What a glorious day that'll be. Those that have died in Jesus, the graves will be opened, and they'll receive their glorified bodies and go forward, upward unto the Lord Jesus. And we that are alive will do the same, and we will meet him in the air. And then we'll be forever with him. But what takes place then to the believers, then we go up and we have the supper of the Lamb, and what a wonderful time that's going to be, and that's going to last for 7 years. And what's happening here on earth is a tribulation period. There's going to be 7 years of the most awful, wicked time that this earth has ever faced, ever, ever. And the first 3.5 won't be too bad. The last 3.5, well, the old devil is going to pour out all of his wrath and all of his... We're going to see the true devil, and he is so mean and so ugly, and the death and disaster that's going to bring. Well, at the close of that 7 years is when Jesus comes and plants his feet upon this earth, and we will be with him. Because, you see, we went up before the tribulation started. We're not going to be here. I'm a pre-tribulationist, not a mid, not a post, pre. In other words, we're going to be gone before that tribulation starts, and I think the scripture is very clear about that. What wonderful words we have when we study the precious Word of God. But find out here without question that as that time comes, we will come with him. We will come with him, and he will defeat the enemy. Every person that has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ will be destroyed. and those that know Jesus and are alive will walk into the thousand-year millennium, the thousand-year reign of Christ. So that's what's to come. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?